bounces Bosch on Howard at three. Bam!
You have
a great job from Pickering on the inside.
All the way from D-top.
Now, I would not be lying if I said I miss the days where the Raptors were the best team in the East. But what I really miss is the type of basketball that was around when I was a kid. I think I can admit objectively that there are valid reasons for this change in play style. But I think you can admit objectively that it has fundamentally changed what was interesting about the NBA before. Because there's no more matchup game. It's just a shot-making league.
But hasn't it always been?
But like, it was the variety of it. It's like you throw the ball down to Hakeem on the post. And then, well, who's going to stop that guy? Or how are we going to guard Shaq? Today, if you put Shaq in the NBA today, what are they going to try to make that guy do? Are they going to try to make Shaq shoot threes? I guarantee you there are coaches in the NBA today who would say, we need to get this guy's stroke to improve. He's not able to hit it from outside.
Yeah. You could see that. You could see that with like a Zion, actually. They're trying to get him to shoot more threes when that's clearly not his game.
Right. So you have in Zion, I would say he's one of the few remaining guys who I am truly entertained watching just because he's a breath of fresh air.
I talk about this with my friends all the time. I'm going to get a Zion Williamson jersey. He is so entertaining to watch.
He's a generational talent. He's a freak of nature in the same vein as a Shaq. I don't know. You know what? When everybody was trying to compare Zion to previous players, Shaq should have been the guy. He's really a mini Shaq.
Yeah, sure.
Like when Shaq came into the league, he was 7'1 and 300 pounds flat, and he could jump through the roof. And he eventually decided he needed to be bigger, which is comical. That guy at 7'1, 300 was like, I'm not big enough, but it worked, so I can't argue with it. But that's, to me, what sort of what Zion is he's just this dominant, imposing figure. And I swear to God, if he ends up just being a three-point shooter like everybody else, I'm quitting.
Stop watching basketball altogether.
Yeah. You know, it'll be the death of the big man. There's just not going to be any of them left in the league. One by one, they're all going to fade into existence and retire.
Yeah. Don't you feel kind of sorry for Marc Gasol?
I mean,
man.
Anybody who watched the last season of the Raptors knew that that career had run its course. Thank you. Defensively, you got us through Philly, and you absolutely demolished Orlando. But my God, offensively, you were done probably before you got to the Raptors. And he's maybe a Hall of Famer when all is said and done. And he's certainly one half of the greatest tandem of brothers to ever play in the NBA. But I salute him for the career that he had. But it is what it is.
Yeah, I know. I was just sad with the remarks he was making, with him saying that I see that my time is coming and I'll be probably out of the lineup soon. And I was like, oh, Mark, yeah, it's true, but you know. His self-awareness is off the charts.
I think the guy post-Raptors I felt the worst for was actually Jeremy Lin.
If you're going to feel bad for anybody, it's certainly Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
No chance at all in the NBA after winning a championship. Get sent to China and then in the G League. And then still no chances.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Now we do need to move on to the final 24-second shot clock. So without further ado, let's get that underway. Raf, you got the first question. Take it away.
So, Mac, Gary Trent Jr., a new addition. Is he underrated, overrated, or properly rated?
I think he's not over or underrated. I think the potential is there for him to be a pretty important piece. But we've only gotten a handful of games to really look at him. I don't think it's time for us to evaluate him yet. I like what I see. I think most Raptors fans like what they see as well. Raph, this season has been nothing short of a disaster for the Raptors. What, if any, is the silver lining for you this year?
Mac, there is no silver lining for this year, unfortunately. You know, you could look at our young guys like Malachi Flynn and say that he got some good playing time, but unfortunately, when it comes to winning, there is no silver lining.
I said it's kind of too early to tell for Gary Trent. What is your thought on that?
I think that he is, I gotta say, man, everything I've been looking at and everything I've been reading as of late is kind of pumping his tires a little bit. Right now, it seems to me that the media and everyone on social media, I guess, as well, is boosting this kid up, like saying he's our savior, you know, he is going to be a key part, which I agree with. He is definitely going to be a key part for us moving forward. He's a younger Norman Powell with a slightly better jump shot. And, you know, same to better defense. But as of right now, he is overrated to me.
Well, I think that actually ties into, it directly ties into my question to you, which was, what's the silver lining? I think that the media and fans have found their silver lining in Gary Trent saying, well, this year's a write-off, but maybe in the future that guy's going to be big for us and we got him this year. So I think that's probably why there's been such an intense focus on him. I don't think we'd see that focus on him in other years. I know you said that there's no silver lining at all. Mm. I do think there is a silver lining. It's a very small one. It's a very thin silver lining, but I would say it is Chris Boucher. I lamented about the way that people play in the NBA this year, but that does not apply to Chris Boucher. He brings it every night. He's a mixture of the perfect qualities that you would want in an NBA player, where he's this long, lanky guy who can get to shots that are 10 feet high. But then the drawback is that he weighs barely more than I do at 5'10". So it's the matchups, Raph. I love the matchups. That's what I come for in the NBA. That's what drew me to the game. And Boucher is one of those guys where I get to watch the double-edged sword play out and see, okay, he can block that shot, but what's he going to do when this guy takes him down low? And I'm entertained by that. That's been my one and only silver lining for the Raptors this year, is getting to watch Boucher play meaningful minutes. In a season that is as forgettable as this one has been, and with my interest in the NBA sort of waning, Chris Boucher has been one of the few things left that I find truly enjoyable. And without him, I don't think this podcast would have been possible. Without you, this podcast would not have been possible. So a big thank you to you, Raph. We are going to wrap this one up as our final podcast. He's Raphael Root. I am McLeod Roy. This was Jurassic North for Say News.